Welcome to ETH, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Here at End Time Headlines, our mission is to inform our listeners of the times and seasons in which we are in. In Luke 21:28, we are told, when you begin to see all these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption is drawing near. And now, founder and pastor of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero.
I want to talk to you today about a devotional word. If you're just joining me, I want to welcome you guys on Facebook Live. I want to welcome all of us here today on YouTube, and as well as our podcasters. If this is your first time joining us on any of these platforms, we hope that you would let us know down below in the on Facebook Live. Let us know in the under the comments, just let us know, say I'm new or this is my first time watching or whatever, so we can acknowledge you. If you're watching by YouTube, let us know in the comments. If you're listening by podcast, you can email us at our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, and just let us know. All right, guys, we're going to go to Exodus 17. Exodus 17, that's where I want to hang out today for the next few moments. And I want to minister a devotional word to you on keeping your posture of praise during the battle. How many of you is watching, listening, is in the midst of a battle? I don't know what kind of battle you're in, but you know the battle that you're in. I don't know how long it's been and how long this battle's been raging. Some of y'all, you just started in a battle. Some of you's been in a battle for a long time. Some of you's about to go into a battle, because there's a time and a season for everything. And whether we like it or not, we are all as believers either have been going in or are in a battle. It's almost as if you go from a season of rest, a season of restoring, and a season of recouping, and then you just get ready for the next battle. How many knows what I'm talking about? You go from battle to battle to battle. And the reason why that is because, again, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. So this word is going to be for anyone who's watching this, if you either been in, going in, or you're in a battle. Exodus 17, now Amalek came and fought with Israel and Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men. I'm just going to read this whole text, guys. It's going to be easier to read this text, and then we'll go back. Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat upon it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it into the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called it in Hebrew, the Lord is my banner. Father, I pray that you'd anoint this word with great power today, as you've shown it, revealed it by the Holy Spirit and my own personal devotional to you. I pray that it would quicken the spirits of the listeners and viewers today as it quickened my spirit, that it would equip them, it would encourage them in the midst, in the heat of the battle in which they're in or they're about to go in. Lord, may this be branded upon our minds, branded upon our spirits, so that we can take these key principles and use them in this time and in the season in which we're in. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. I want to pull out some stuff here, guys. First of all, it says that when Moses stood on the top of the hill, he had, your Bible says in the King James, the rod of God. But then when you go and read earlier in the book of Exodus, when the Lord called Moses, he says, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "It is my staff." Some translations say rod, some say staff. I'm going to prove to you today, and I'm going to break this down in a minute and show you the difference between the two. And this is all going to be applicable, okay? So the staff of Moses, this same staff, which was in his hand during the heat of this battle, was the same staff that was used to produce water from the rock. It was used to transform into a serpent in the house of Pharaoh, and it was used for the parting of the Red Sea. So this staff was instrumental in producing miracles. The staff in itself did not produce the miracles. It was just the instrument that God used. It was a point of reference. It was a conduit. It was a conduit that was used. How many understands what I'm saying? When Peter's shadow, when people got under the shadow of Peter, they were healed. It was not that his shadow was the proponent of the healing. It was that Peter was so filled with the Holy Spirit that even his shadow was anointed. Then I can show you in the book of Acts where they took handkerchiefs and they took them from the apostle's body and they passed them out to the sick, to the afflicted and the demon possessed. And when they touched and partaked of these cloths that came from their body, they were healed or they were delivered of that which was keeping them bound. Now, was there power in the handkerchief? Was there power in the cloth? No. It was all about it was a point of reference. It was the anointing is transferable. See, See the staff, this same staff that Moses used, that God used. He said, "What do you got?" Moses said, "I don't have a sword. I don't have intellectual words. I'm not a wordsmith. I'm not a motivational speaker. Come on. I don't have a big platform. I don't have the influence. I can't articulate words the way Solomon can. I don't have the power to cast down fire out of heaven like Elijah could. I can't do all these things." And the Lord says, "Well, what do you got? What do you got, Moses, that I can use?" He says, "Well, I have a shepherd's staff here." And the Lord says, "We'll use what you got." Come on. Now listen, Psalms 23, this is David speaking. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and he leads me into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Listen to this. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." How many believes that's a battle he's walking through? How many believes that's a trial that he's going through? He says, "Though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." That should be our number one reason why we should not fear a valley. We should not fear a trial. We should not fear a doctor report. We should not fear a banker's report. We should not fear a storm, a situation. Come on, a walled city. A giant, we should not fear if the Lord is with. Come on, if the Lord be for you, who is he who can be against you? So David said, "Though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me." But then listen what he says. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." So I have confidence because the Lord is with me, but I have comfort to know that the rod and the staff is with me. Now, David was a shepherd and described these two tools, the rod and the staff. Listen to this in 1 Samuel 17:34-35. He says, quote, "Your servant," and he's speaking of himself, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him." Now listen, he was referring not to the staff, but to the rod. Now listen, the rods in the Old Testament were used as, number one, weapons of defense or weapons of offense. Number two, they were sometimes used as walking sticks. And number three, most of the time, in reference to the Bible, the rod was a symbol of correction and discipline, such as when Solomon wrote in Proverbs 13:24, that whosoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. So in this proverb, he's talking about discipline, and not so much, it's not literally using a rod to beat his son, but he's talking about the rod of correction. Paul was speaking to the New Testament church in the church of Corinth, and he said, when I come to you, he said, am I going to come in love or am I going to bring a rod? Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about bringing the rod of correction. But then let's move over to the staff of David. Number one, the shepherds carried rods and staffs in those days to protect and care for their sheep, but the staff has a significant different meaning than the rod. The staff is symbolic. Listen to this, you got to get this, guys. The staff is symbolic of God's authority as his leaders were identified, like in the case where Aaron's rod, which budded and was assigned to others, that God had ordained him alone as the high priest. In ancient Israel, a staff was given to military leaders. You can find this in Judges 5:14. The staff in Moses' hand was involved with the splitting of the rock, the turning into a serpent, and it ate up Pharaoh's serpents, or the sorcerers and the magicians. It was used to split the Red Sea. But listen to this. The staff in Moses' hand was also involved with the plagues given out to Egypt that indicated God's sovereignty over Egypt and that he was working through his servant Moses. The staff was also referred to as a sign of a ruler, like a king's scepter. And you can find this example in Isaiah 14:5. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of rulers, and of a nation, when God referred to Egypt as that broken reed or staff. All right? So here, you got to get this picture. Here is Moses with Aaron. Here's Moses with the armies of Aaron, the armies of Joshua, and he has Aaron and Hur there with him as well. And the Lord, here's what the Moses says: tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff. Come on, the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua, and he commands Joshua to choose men and go fight Amalek. Oh, come on, somebody. So here's what I want to tell you. When we are in the heat of the battle, we must recognize who we need in the trenches with us and who will be there from the beginning of the battle and to the end of the battle. Notice that Moses understood, okay, he understood and discerned that he was entering into a heated battle. He needed, listen to this, guys, he needed to understand and discern, who do I need to intercede and travail and go to war in the spirit? And who do I need to encourage me? Because there's a difference. Come on. Everybody in the body of Christ has different functions. There's a fivefold ministry for the equipping of the saints. There's intercessors that are called by God to intercede on you and I's behalf. They're going to go in the trenches. They're going to pray. They're going to intercede. They're going to fast. They're going to travail. And they're probably not going to get up off their face and get off their knees and get out of the closet until they experience a breakthrough in the spirit and have a peace that would reside upon them to know for a surety that the battle is not ours, but belongs unto the Lord. And then when they get the peace and assurance from the Lord, they know that they can let up in the heat of battle because the battle is finished. So we have to recognize those who labor among us who have faith to see us through the conflict. Listen, I love all of you, but I'm going to tell you something. There's only a handful of you that I would probably pick if I really got to know you, and it would be depicted on your faith. Come on, how many believes if you're going through a physical battle in your body and you need a healing and you need a miracle from God, the last people you need to intercede for you and to come into agreement with you is people that don't even believe that God can heal today. They don't even believe that God does miracles today. They have no faith to get themselves out of a wet paper sock. You think I'm going to ask you to pray for me and you to lock arms with me and you to intercede for me when I'm in the middle of a battle over my health, and the doctors have given me a grim report. The doctors have given me a report that is contrary to the word of God, contrary to life, and contrary to what God has already given me in his rhema and his spoken, come on, in his right now word to you. You've got another thing coming. And the same goes if I'm believing God for a breakthrough in my finances. I don't want a bunch of people around me that can't believe God to pay a $25 bill. I want movers and shakers in the kingdom that know how to give, that have a covenant with God in their financial giving, have a covenant with God with their finances, that have made sacrifices of giving and have seen the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich and add no sorrow to it. And the Lord has blessed them indeed to break the back of debt and get them out from point A to point B, from a place of never enough to a place of more than enough. Come on, if I'm in the heat of a battle with my marriage, the last people I want in the trenches of the battle with me is somebody that's been married five times and they're on their sixth wife or their sixth husband, and they can't hold down a marriage. They can't hold down a relationship. They're always hopping from one person to another person. They can never be, come on, rooted and grounded and stable and contend for their marriage. They're always in the, come on, one little problem pops up here, one little conflict pops up here, that instead of them praying it through, instead of them working it out, instead of them seeking counsel, instead they will tuck tail and they will run the opposite way. That is the last bunch of people that I want to have in the trenches with me. Son, I want some folks that have been married for a long time in the trenches with me. I want some folks that's been married 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and they've been through some storms like I'm talking to you about. They've been through some trials. They've been through some sicknesses. They've been through some, come on, heartache and heart and pain. And they've been through seasons of forgiveness and seasons of ups and downs and mountains and valleys and highs and lows. And they've come out on the other end, come on, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and not even smelling like the smell of smoke, but they've come out on the other end so that they can be an encouragement to pull us through on the other side. So Moses said, Joshua, I recognize you have leadership traits in you. I recognize that you are an overcomer, that you were created to battle. You were created to be victorious. You are the man of the hour. I want you to choose some men and go out and fight Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff in my hands. All right, listen to this. The next thing we must remember, listen to me, guys. The next thing we got to remember is that this battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. When you go into a battle, it's not that we think that it caught God off guard, or we think he's surprised by this, or he's dismayed. No. God already knew it. He understood what was happening. In fact, he permitted us to go through the battle we're going through. He permitted us to go through the trial that we're in. Why? So he can beat us, destroy us, and see us be defeated? No, so that he can empower us, so that he can equip us, so that he can see to it that we come out on the other side, come on, stronger than we were when we came into it. You realize in the Bible that it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. It was not Jesus. It was not the will of Jesus to go into the wilderness. It was the Holy Spirit that led him into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tried, and to be tested by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. Why would the Heavenly Father permit permit his son, Jesus Christ, to be tempted of the devil 40 days and 4 nights? Well, the answer is right there, and it's evident in the Word of God, because your Bible says that after 3 victorious battles in the middle of the wilderness, and Jesus claimed victory over Satan 3 times, the Bible says that Satan left him for a season, and then it says he entered into Galilee filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And you'll begin to notice that that's when miracles begin to generate. That's when his ministry began to explode in signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm trying to tell you, friends, what you think is trying to break you, God is trying to make you. He is just simply making you to become what he's always destined for you to become. But you got to remember, quit taking the battles personal. Quit taking it personal and know that, come on, God has got your back. David said, though I'm walking through this valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say that it wasn't dark. He said it was a valley and it was a shadow of death. But he said, I will not fear, for the Lord God is with me. Somebody lay your hands on your heart right now where you're listening or where you're watching and say, the Lord God is with me. Come on, you got to know that today. But listen to this. We got to remember that the Lord will fight with us, and we must choose to lift up our hands and praise him through the warfare and worship him regardless of how impossible the battle seems to look. Worship and praise him regardless of how the odds look against you, how tired you are, how broke you are, how sick you are, how bad your marriage looks, how rebellious your kids are, and how bad they're getting, how much your business is in decline, how many people have walked away from you. You just got to keep your hands lifted up. Come on, keep, and I'm going to talk about that staff in just a second. In fact, let's just go there right now. And the Bible says in verse 11, so it was when Moses held up his hand. I want you to notice something here, and this is not a play on words. Notice it says Moses held up his hand, not hands, plural, but hand in which the staff was in it. But then it goes on and says that he had to have Aaron and Hur hold up his hands, plural tense. So he went from hand singular to hands, plural. Watch this. It says when Moses held up his hand, which by the way had the staff of the Lord in it, it says that he prevailed in battle, or Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. The rod and the staff that we have today, listen to this, because remember I told you it was very common for a shepherd to have a rod and a staff. The rod and the staff in today's understanding, come on somebody, is a two-edged sword. It's the Word of God. See, the hand, plural, singular, the hand of Moses remained lifted with the staff of the Lord in his hand, representing the power of the Lord and his might, resting on the authority of God's ability to do in the supernatural what he cannot do in the natural. Golly, guys, when we take the Word of God, listen, we don't have a rod, we don't have a staff, we have the Word of Almighty God. And when we lift that, listen, I don't know what battle you're in, I don't know what struggle you're in, I don't know what valley you're going through, but when we lift up that staff, we lift up that Word, that two-edged sword, we are lifting it up before the Lord, saying, Lord, I am not resting upon my own strength. I'm not relying on my own ability. I'm not relying on my own intellect. I'm not relying on what doctors can do for me. I'm not relying on what the banker can do for me. I'm not relying on the counselor. Listen, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against bankers. And I'm not against counselors. But we have a problem in the body of Christ. If when we're going through a battle, if we run to the banker before we run to Jehovah Jireh, come on, if we run to the doctor before we run to Jehovah Rapha, come on, I'm telling you, we need to run to the great physician before we learn to run to the practicing physician. Come on, I'm preaching to myself today too. I received this word for me too today. Woo! So he was lifting up the staff and saying, Lord, I trust that you'll do in the supernatural what we cannot do in the natural. And notice, as long as he had his hands lifted up to heaven, in which his help comes from, as long as he had the staff lifted up, as long as he had his hand lifted up in surrender to the Lord in acknowledgement that the battle was not his, but it belonged to the Lord. The Bible said that God was moving on his behalf behind the scenes. My God, hallelujah. I'm trying to tell you today, this is why the devil fights your worship. He fights your praise. This is why he'll fight you in a service. This is why you'll go to many churches and the devil's convinced them not to raise their hand in worship, not to be expressive in their praise, not to be expressive in their worship. Oh, why do you think when Mary came in with the alabaster box and she broke open, she made a broken display of her worship before everybody? She didn't care what people thought. She didn't care about their opinions. She said, my Lord and my God, I know what he's brought me from. I know what he's brought me out of, and I know the battles he's brought me through, and I can't do anything but praise him. So if you don't mind, if you'll just excuse me for a minute, make way, because I'm going to break my alabaster box. Yeah, it's going to be messy. Yeah, it's going to smell up the place, but come on, it's time we start smelling up the place with our praise. It's time that we become messy with our worship, messy with our praise. Why? Because listen, I get excited. Oh, I feel him today, church. I get excited when I go into a church service and I see someone with unabandoned praise. Come on, with unabandoned worship. When they get messy with their praise, they get expressive with their praise and worship. You know what this expresses to me? You know what this testifies to me? Come on, where they've been forgiven little will be expressed. But where they've been forgiven much, come on, they will express much love. You show me someone with that kind of expressive worship and praise, and I'll show you somebody who's been through hell and come out on the other side with a praise, with a testimony, with a miracle, with a message, and with a ministry. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody lift up their hands and worship him and praise him today. Come on, you got to remember that God is with you. And you have the word. You have your staff. Listen to this. When we get out of the book, but here's the problem. When we get out of the book, we get out of favor. When we're in the book, we're in favor. Hebrew tradition. Oh, you got to hear this. I did a study on this. Hebrew tradition teaches that David would take a knife or a sword and he would make niches in his staff. Every time he defeated a lion, he would take his little knife or he'd take a sword and he'd put a niche in his staff. He defeated a lion. Here goes a niche. He would defeat a bear. He would put in a niche. He would defeat a wolf that was coming after the flock. He'd put in another niche. So there'd be a niche here and a niche there and a niche here and a niche there. Come on. Every battle he won, there'd be a niche in his staff. So, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So watch this. So each time, here's what I'm trying to tell you. So when he was in a deep valley of his life, when he was in a trench, when he was in a trial, when he's in a tribulation, when he faced a giant, when he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, come on, your Bible says not only did he have a sling and four stones, but he had his staff. Why in the world would he bring a staff to face a giant? What's a staff going to do to defeat a giant? Come on, here's what it did for him. When he looked down, come on, when he looked at the giant that was before him and he looked at the staff that was in front of him, he began to, come on, he looked at the staff and began to see the niches that was in the staff and said, yes, Lord, I thank you that when I was faced with that adversity, you brought me through. When I was faced with that lion, you brought me through. When I was faced with that bear, you brought me through. Come on, somebody. Do I need to break it down to you? I'm telling you, it's time to pull out the journal. Somebody's in a battle right now. Somebody's in a valley right now. Somebody's in a dark place right now. And you need to pull out your journal and begin to, come on, begin begin to pull it out and remember what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord brought you through here. Look how the Lord healed your body then. Look how the Lord spared you from that car wreck there. Look how he spared you over here. Look how he came through when you thought you were broke, busted, and disgusted, and you were going to have to throw in the towel and go bankrupt. But come on, God showed up in an unexpected blessing and an unexpected breakthrough. And if the same God brought you through then, he can bring you through the giant that you're facing now. No wonder Moses said up here, he said in verse 14, and the Lord said to Moses, write this down for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. Why? Because it was going to be, another niche in the staff. No wonder when the spies came to the harlot's house. No wonder when they came to Rahab. Oh, come on. The victories, the battles, come on, had traveled so far. The testimonies was so powerful that they traveled land and sea. So when the spies showed up, when they showed up to the harlot's house, she said, oh, and when she learned who they were, she said, oh, did our hearts not faint and melt within us? Did we not lose strength when we heard the great stories of how your God brought you through the Red Sea, how your God defeated the giants, how your God brought you through this and brought you through that? I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I believe I'm talking to some warriors today. I'm talking to some Moses today, that you are not going to be defeated in this valley today. You're not going to go down in this fight today. But friends, it's time you get out that staff, you hold that thing up before the Lord and say, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Come on, you brought me through, you'll bring me out. You did it before, you'll do it again. Come on, somebody. Listen to this. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some battles that you're going to get into and they're going to take everything out of you. They're going to weary you. They're going to wear you out. You might lose some sleep. You might lose some peace. You might have to push back a meal. And when it comes to this, because it says that Moses' hands, plural. This is not hand, but hands. His hands became heavy. So the Bible says they took a stone and they propped it up under him. Listen, you and I are inevitably going to become weary and tired during a long battle. Come on, there's some battles we're going to go through and we're going to get the victory in one day. We're going to get the victory in 3 days. They're going to get the victory in 7 days. But I hate to burst your bubble. There's going to be some battles that are going to be prolonged. It may go on for months. It may go on for years. And after a while, you start getting tired. You start getting tired of going to church. Come on. You get tired of praying for your healing. You get tired of praying for your breakthrough. You get tired of tithing and not getting a breakthrough. You get tired of giving an offering and not getting, come on, getting out of debt and getting breakthroughs in your finances. You get tired of going to counselors and get tired of going to these meetings, and it seems like your husband or your wife are stubborn, they're hard-headed, and it seems like they can't get nothing through to them. You get tired of praying for your lost loved ones, your co-workers, your family members, your spouses, and it seems like the more you pray, the more stubborn they get. Come on, the more you travail, the more you fast, it seems like all hell begins to break loose. This is what Moses understood, and it says his hands became tired, and they did something interesting, and they propped a stone under him. See, when we become weary and tired during a long battle, and we'll want to stop praising, we'll want to stop worshiping, we'll want to stop going into the house of the Lord and doing what we're called to do. Come on, when we become weary and well-doing, we have to either make a choice to either rest upon our own strength or remember that we are resting our faith and our hope upon the Rock of Ages. See, it says they put a rock under him. Come on, what are you setting on? What is your assurance today? What are you resting your hope in? Is your hope in you? Is it in your own strength? Is it in your own demise? Or are you saying, Lord, I'm tired. Come on, we're not going to be naive here. and say that we're not tired, that we've not had restless nights, that we're tired of going through this struggle, going through this fight, going through this battle. We acknowledge that today. But here, you know what I've learned? That I have to rest assured that I'm on the rock of ages. My house is built upon the rock. That when the winds and the storms come and they're going to blow and it's going to rain and there's going to be times of flooding, there's going to be times that the roof is going to be dismantled. There's going to be times it seems like all hell's breaking loose, but I got to remember that I'm standing and setting upon the rock of ages. Whew. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Come on, guys. It's time that we cast all our cares upon the rock. I choose to put my cares upon the rock. I put this battle upon the rock today. But listen, this, I want to go back to this and then we're going to pray for some folks. But did you know that we were never meant to battle alone? We were never meant to go through these battles alone. The devil will try to convince you that you're alone. He'll try to convince you that you need to be a loner. He'll try to get you to isolate yourself. He'll try to get you to be reclusive and to get away from the body of Christ, to get away from other believers. But listen, notice that Moses, there was two people that acknowledged that Moses was in the heat of battle and that they had to come and intervene. And your Bible says that Aaron and Hur began to lift up his hands. Come on, who are the Aaron and Hurs in your life right now? Who are the Aaron and Hurs that they, when they recognize that you're going through a battle, that they're not out the back door? Come on, do you got friends that are only around when it's sunshine, it's good, you got a pocket full of money, you've been blessed, you've just got the promotion, you got a nice vehicle, you got a nice home, you're popular, you're somebody, you've got a platform, you got recognition, you got notoriety, you got influence, and all everybody wants to be your friend? Or, come on, who's with you when you're in the valley of the shadow of death? Who's with you when you're going through the heat of the battle? Who's with you when you're in the sick bed? Who's with you when you're broke? Who's with you when your marriage is falling apart? Who's with you when your children are rebellious and they're running from the presence of the Lord? Who's going to be your Aaron and Hur? It's time to begin to examine ourselves and recognize who are the Aaron and the Hurs that I can have with me that is not going to run from the battle, but they're going to run to the battle and help, come on, sustain me through this thing. They're going to be there through the wee hours of the night. They're going to pick up the phone and call me and say, I'm here for you, my friend. I'm here for you, my brother. I'm here for you, my sister. They're going to come to your house, come to your church, come to your state. They're going to hop on the plane, hop in the car. They're going to be where you are, and they'll do whatever they got to do to be there with you in the trenches. And it says they were steadily there until the going down of the sun. Until the going down of the sun. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, friends. Hallelujah. Listen, whether you've been through it, whether you're going through it, or whether you're about to go through it, we're all going to go through a battle. But it's time we recognize that we got to have our staff, the Word of God. Come on, we got to have the Word of God. We've got to have a testimony. We got to take all the testimonies, take the breakthroughs, the victories that God has given us in past seasons, put them in our hands as a memorial to lift up before the Lord in our present seasons, and begin to believe that this battle is not ours, but it belongs unto the Lord, and the same God that brought us through then is going to bring us through now. And you say, well, brother, I don't have any Aarons and Hurs. It's time to pray them in. It's time to begin to intercede. It's time to pray, fast, and intercede, and begin to ask God to bring them in your life, because I believe it's the will of God for Aaron and Hurs to be in every Moses' life. Father, come on, just lift up your hands today. I know this word's for somebody today. Father, you see our battles. You see our struggles. You see our valleys that we're walking through. And God, I thank you, first of all, that we're not alone. I thank you that you're with us. You're right there. You've been with us from point A to point B, from the beginning to the end. You're right there in that transition. Lord, the same God that was with us before we got into this is the same God that's going to get us through. Though we walk through, Lord, we're not planning to stick around. We're not pitching a tent there. We're not setting up camp there. We're walking through. We're going through this valley. We're going through this trial. We're going through this battle on the other end. And God, I thank you for the Aaron and hers that you're raising up for the people of God today. Lord, it might be a mother and a father. It may be two sisters, a sister and a brother, biologically. And it may be a brother in the church or a sister in the church. It may be some best friends. It may be a co-worker. It may be some neighbors. But God, there's some Aaron and hers that want to come along our side. And Lord, help us to recognize who they are, Lord God, so that we can get through this battle. And I thank you, Father, that as long as we remain in the posture of praise, in the posture of worship, in the posture of thanksgiving, and know that, Father God, that when we lift up our hands, lift up our eyes, lift up our voices unto the hills and to which in which our help comes from, and we acknowledge that our help, it comes from the Lord. We know that in due season, the victory is coming. The sun will rise again. The clouds will depart. The rain will stop raining. The storms will cease. The lightning will stop striking. The thunder will stop clapping. And we are going to come out on the other end. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. And we give you praise and we give you glory and honor for the victory ahead of time. Lord, we praise you for the victory on the other end of the battle. We already praise you for the victory that's already won. It's already been finished by your power and by your might and by your spirit. And we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. God bless you guys. Listen, I hope this has been a devotional word of encouragement to somebody today. I hope it's blessed you today. As always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If you've not yet partnered with us in support of this ministry, we want to give you that opportunity. Again, our messages are all free. YouTube, podcast, Facebook Live. Every one of these messages are free. There is no charge to these messages, no products, no CDs, no DVDs, no magazine subscriptions, no subscription fees. Everything is free to be a blessing to you. All we ask is that if the Holy Spirit puts on your heart, if you've been blessed, encouraged, and informed, and transformed by our ministry, by any one of the arms of our ministry, whether it's the information arm, whether it's the revelation arm of the voice of our ministry through Remnant Revival or through End Time Headlines or both, and you wish to become a partner with us. What does that mean? It means every month the Lord puts it on your heart that you want to partner with us and make monthly partnership donations to us. You can do that under Facebook Live, under the link. If you click on that, it's going to take you to a page. Or whether it's a one-time gift, the Lord, I pray that the Lord speak to you. And as he does, you just be obedient to that. And he's going to bless you for that. Again, you could do that on Facebook Live. If you're watching, right there in the description. If you're watching by YouTube, if you're watching by podcast or listening by podcast, at the end of this segment, all that information is going to be there. Again, at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. If you wish to subscribe to our Daily Digest, you can do that again on Facebook Live by clicking that link I showed you. Just go on our main website. It's going to show you how to subscribe to our main website. Again, you guys on Facebook or on YouTube and on the podcast, if you'll go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org or endtimeheadlines.com, you're going to see a place where it says subscribe. You click on that link, put in your email address. I believe it's just your name and email address, and that's all you got to do. And you'll get one digest every single day in your inbox, and it's going to keep you up to date and informed of the times and seasons which we're in through our information arm. It's also going to, every time we put up a new podcast, you're going to get push notifications if you subscribe to that. Again, and Remnant revival.org. That's the other arm of our ministry. You can also go there and subscribe as well. Now, guys, real quick, we got some dates that we want to announce here for some stuff coming up in October. So we want to acknowledge that. We, on October 13th, this is a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., we are coming back to God's Church. That's in Cordon, Indiana, there with Pastor Tim. We will be preaching there at 10:30 a.m. So if you're anywhere, again, within driving distance, and when you wish to come out, again, that's at 10:30 a.m. That's at God's Church in Cordon, Indiana. The following week, on the 20th, it's a Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., same time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern, we'll be back to our monthly gathering at Cornerstone, their Cornerstone Church, also in Cordon, Indiana. Okay, so the 13th and 20th, we will be ministering there in Cordon, Indiana, back-to-back weekends. We also will be coming to Louisville, Kentucky as well sometime soon. We don't have a date locked in, but when we get that locked in, we will give you more information on that as well. So be looking forward to that. Again, all this information will be on our Facebook page. We'll try to get that uploaded to our YouTube or our main website as well, so you can get the directions as well. And of course, you'll know this by YouTube and by Facebook Live as well. So God bless you guys. Have a great weekend. And until we see you guys next week, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.